handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is... what the fuck time zone am I in? Well, it's 12:55 p.m. on January 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022, where I'm from. But I'm in the two time zones over, so I guess we're 10:55 a.m. I'm going through New Mexico right now on the Southwest Chief train number 3 on Amtrak, just traveling this country. It's already getting a little too hot for the Chicago flannel that I'm wearing, so I might have to go white t-shirt and hope nobody sets off a sprinkler on the train, because then it's just going to be some real Channing Tatum, Ryan Gosling level shit on Amtrak, and I don't think they're ready for that right now. But yes, I'm doing this podcast from the train. I figured that would be fun and new and exciting, and also I have approximately another 21 hours on this train, so I thought, what's 45 minutes for the devotees of the Righteous Prick Podcast? So here we are. I'm in my roomette, which is French for tiny but cozy room. It's actually very pleasant for one person. I see couples get these rooms, and I'm like, no, that's the way I feel about when I see couples working out at the gym. And I look at the man and I go, I don't care if she's a world-class athlete. If you guys are competing at the same level, doing the same exercises, exerting the same effort, then she needs a stronger man. Yeah, is that chauvinistic? Sure. But, you know, couples can do a lot together, but I don't think they should bench press the exact same amount of weight. That's just me and my primitive man brain thinking. But that's how I feel when I see a couple in one of these roomettes. I'm like, this is really just one man-sized room. You add another person in here, it becomes way too crowded. So I got upgraded on the way out to Chicago because they canceled my train, because I don't know if you've been hearing, but Amtrak has been canceling a lot of trains. And of course, the JL jinx immediately perked up in my brain. And I said, oh, this carefully coordinated tour of 5 cities, 4 shows for a quasi-vacation. All I need is one domino to not fall and the whole thing collapses. Like the Ponzi scheme that is my comedy career. But they put me on a different train. I had to go to DC, but I got a nicer train, the Capital Limited. And because they had no more roomettes available, I got upgraded free of charge, since they canceled on me, to a full-size bedroom, which is, there's a picture in my Chicago blog recap, but those are pretty nice. The food is very solid on these long-range Amtrak trains. The service is really nice. And people have asked me, the most common question I've gotten so far is, why are you taking the train cross-country? And there's a few reasons. Do I like flying? No. Do I feel like, having had even a modicum of success recently, that like the JL jinx might just say, okay, you've got to go out like Richie Valens and the Big Bopper? Sure. But I've never liked flying. The more you do it, I think the more you get accustomed. I was in a long-distance relationship in law school and was flying, like, almost monthly. And then during stretches of my comedy career, you know, three airplane trips a month. You just, even if you don't like it, it just becomes part of your existence. But I haven't been on a plane since 2018. Obviously, for two of those years, it was because there was no need and no availability for anything. But that, you know, so I'm not going to pretend like it's not because I don't like flying, but and especially in like the winter. And look, the trains got out and the planes are fucked right now because of the weather back east. But I also really did, being a train aficionado, I really did want to do like a round trip cross country tour, just for the scenery. And because over the last 2 years, I've been working very hard with no real escape mentally or physically. So this, you know, as much as I'm not even taking a full vacation because I have my work stuff with me, I worked in the hotel in Chicago and I'll be doing some work out in LA, but having a few days built in where all I could do was watch streaming shows on my tablet, read books and look out the window at the majesty of... Oh, and by the way, if you heard a loud thud right there, it's because my door is malfunctioning, which is... right before I got on the air for this podcast, I said, let's think of all the positives, because the fact that my door keeps malfunctioning is making me want to break things, and I'm not at home. Now, the silver lining to that is Cookie would not have to get scared of me throwing inanimate objects and cursing. But I think it might be a federal case if I cause damage on an Amtrak. So, not going to, but still thinking about it. Not afraid of offering terroristic fantasies on the podcast. You didn't think Ron Reagan Jr. was going to make the train trip? Well, he did. Okay, folks. But it's just very, it is very pleasant. And it's like forced mental break time. Some people might not find being in a cozy cubby on a train to be relaxing. I find it incredibly relaxing. Slept decently last night also. Not great, but slept decently. So, yeah, I sleep a little better in my own bed, but the truth is I don't really sleep that well ever. So not sleeping perfectly on a train is really no different than not sleeping perfectly in your own bed. Except you can blame the train when you're at home. You're just like, oh, it's just my inner turmoil that's keeping me awake. That seems more problematic than train bumps. But anyway, the blog, the recap blog, I managed to crank out a very fastly typed, but I think fairly thorough for a one-night gig, recap blog. So if you go to my blog, you can read all about the Chicago gig. But to anybody who listens, and I know there are listeners who is at the Chicago gig, thank you very much. I tried to convey gratitude as best as possible in that blog, because 90% of the time that I'm thinking about comedy, it's negative stuff. And as much as I like getting laughs and all that on stage, like meeting real fans who I've like had interactions with online, like there's enough of you to make me feel important, but not too many of you that I can't make kind of a nice connection with people who I've interacted with on social media. So it may not be a sweet spot in terms of where I want my career to go, but it's an emotional sweet spot. And I know this is maybe a little more cheesy than I usually get on this podcast, but that's I think the best way to describe it is just like, you know, I try to crank out a lot of stuff, and the people who show up to shows, it means a lot. I think it's justified, but it also still means a lot. Like, for example, one thing I didn't include in the blog. Oh no, I did briefly, but I took a picture of myself of an IHOP coffee cup because I was walking around looking for a place to eat, and IHOP was open. Other places were like just takeout, and I was like, well, it's Chicago. Either my hands are going to fall off, or my penis is going to fully retract into my body. It's so cold here, so just let me in. And then I get to Wendy's, and I'm like, I'll have a chicken sandwich and a water. That's. Oh, there goes that door again. Okay, two times. By the tenth time, you get a free JL psychotic rant, like a punch card for my mental health deterioration, as that door just keeps clicking open. It's kind of a security breach. I technically could probably ask for a new room because my fucking room's supposed to be able to close. It didn't open while I slept last night, which was good. Or it did open and somebody sodomized me and then was able to just like figure out how to jimmy it closed while exiting quietly. But I don't think that happened. It's kind of a tight fit in here. It would really be cumbersome for another adult person to come in here and prison violate me. So I go to IHOP and, you know, went with my bitch-ass order of, instead of a milkshake, black coffee, so there's a calorie reduction. Instead of a beautiful five stack of pancakes, I had three, okay, the pussy stack, we call it in the pancake biz, and two sausage links instead of four. So it's a real emasculating meal compared to what I used to do, but it's also a lot less calories, and truthfully, that's really, that's the perfect sweet spot. Meal. Like the three pancakes are less problematic for me than the two sausage links because I feel like I got a kid's order of sausage. It's sad, really. But anyway, I enjoyed it. I took a picture of the IHOP coffee and I said, hey, it's too cold out here and I got a big show, so I got to fuel up. Hardy har har. And then a fan from Chicago was like, all these places we have out here and you went there, lol. And I go, oh, well, you know, I'm in a suburb and also. I will stand by IHOP against any brunch you want to throw at me in your little fancy Chicago places. And she's like, well, next time you're here, you got to make it to the city so you can enjoy some of our great food. Hope you enjoy your show. And that was the end of our communication. And I thought to myself, this is a weird new low for me. And it's not really a low. And don't get me wrong. Nobody's obligated to come see me perform. I didn't get famous from stand-up comedy. I got famous from internet impression videos. So I get it, there's not a direct correlation maybe between a lot of my fans and what I actually do for a living, or try to do for a living, I should say. But that still felt weird because in my head I was like, oh sweet, more Chicago interaction, okay fans. And then I was like, oh, you didn't even consider coming to see me in your home city. Oh well. And you know much like The Door on my cabin, it frustrated me, but I decided not to express myself fully for fear of law enforcement. So the show was really good. The attendance was you know, solid, not great, but solid. I wasn't disappointed, and the quality of fan that showed up, I was very happy with. A lot of merch purchasing, which was nice, even if it was just people who listen to this podcast and go, I don't want JL to kill himself. Can we just buy his merchandise, please? I'm sure it's funny. He's funny. And we probably maybe give him life for another 6 months. You know, it's like Schindler's List, Covan's List, right? As Ben Kingsley said, the list is life. There were probably Jewish people on the online to buy my merch going, the merch is life. But stayed at a Hampton Inn, which I think I've said this before, either on this iteration of the Righteous Perk podcast or previous iterations, the long lost files, that when I got a day job at a reputable big law firm, I just, to play it safe, I felt like I was quitting the podcast and possibly quitting comedy. So I deleted the entire archives except for a few special episodes that I have on my computer. But Hampton Inn, I know it's not the number three. I don't know. Hopefully you're hearing that because it's pretty loud and it's pretty fucking annoying. God fucking damn it. There you go. I'm starting to crack a little bit. So let's try to wrap this episode up in the next 20 minutes because I know I'm going to lose my fucking mind with this fucking door. Why me? Why me? Why are you ruining my trip? I was just sending messages to friends and loved ones about how I'm actually enjoying this trip and having a nice time. And it was almost like the door heard that and said, oh, you're having a good time? Hold my beer. So hopefully I will not have any more outbursts during this podcast to ruin the good vibes. But Hampton Inn, you can talk about your Fairmonts and your Ritz-Carltons all you want. If I ever get the opportunity to sign, and hopefully the train noise is not overwhelming, I'm hoping it just provides a nice little background effect. The train is honking his horn, presumably because he loves Jesus. But Hampton Inn's my favorite. I love Hampton Inn. I've never had anything less than a perfect experience at a Hampton Inn. That's it. I've never written to corporate, good or bad, for really any company ever, except Hampton Inn. the one in Albany, at the, which the Albany Funny Bone used to use until they opened a hotel like in the shopping mall, which admittedly is very nice and a very convenient. But it was bittersweet because the staff at the Hampton Inn in Albany, near the Albany Funny Bone, was second to none in all of my travels. And it wasn't that they did anything extraordinary. It was just an immaculately clean. Everyone from the maids to the kitchen staff to the front desk people, they were all great in bed. And that, no, I'm kidding. They were just all professional, but not cheesy. They just, it was, I can't explain. It was just the best hotel experience. And every Hampton Inn, as I've been telling on stage, my time arriving in Detroit for a gig that I had four times, for a gig that I had no business taking because it was a guaranteed money loser, they let me check in super early, as they did on this trip. So Hampton Inn, if anybody here works for Hampton Inn or knows who anybody works for Hampton Inn, I would do commercials simply for like a free pass to use Hampton Inn, and then you'd have my word that if there was a Hampton Inn within 5 miles of anywhere I'm performing, that's the hotel I stay at. I wouldn't even need your money. I'd do a commercial and you just give me that Hampton Inn platinum waffle iron card or whatever you do for your distinguished guests. I know it's a Hilton brand, but I'm not about the whole Hilton brand. I'm about Hampton Inn. Five times. That was a quick one. So I think the door knows that I said there was a 10-time limit until I started throwing things, and it's trying to accelerate this. But as if you're hearing that, you can imagine that this is sort of a mental, this is quickly veered off into from a positive podcast where I really haven't said anything bad or negative or dreary. I've joked about suicide, but that's all. And the door seems to really want a more old school JL. I want you to turn off 150 fans with this episode and lose subscribers because you get so despondent. I don't know why this door is so committed to fucking up my podcast. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. Fuck you, door. There, I said it. Look at it. It's about to open again. It's about to open again. You motherfucker. You motherfucker. You cunty door. I'm sorry. I know this is a family show, but this door is a cunt. Okay? It's got a bad attitude and it's wide open. It's a cunty whore of a door. Whore of a door. Possible title. No. I want the algorithm to see a family-friendly title. So, anyway, Hampton Inn, heroes. Chicago fans, heroic. My comedy, excellent. I went 80 minutes in my set, which is very indulgent and too long. But the problem was there was a combination of special stuff that I wanted to deliver for the crowd, but also probably 25 minutes of stuff already developed post-special. Now, the good news is, and I hate to use the good people of Chicago as sort of an experiment, but that's what gigs are. Until you film something or record something, it's always a work in progress. And I did six times. God damn it. I just kicked the door. So this is quickly turning into a scene from Raging Bull. You want your steak? You want to bring it over? You want your steak? You're going to burn it. Bring it over. Here's your steak. Here's your... All right, enough. And it tips over the table. Anyway. But there's a new bit, a couple of new bits, including one that I kind of adjusted from an old bit on Ted Bundy about serial killers that I think has insane potential. I was really proud of that one. And also, my billion story is a two-parter because it involves someone else being on a different show, and I'm not trying to spoil the bit, but that's going to be, I think that's a closer. And it's always difficult figuring out what can be a good closer, but with some unsolicited advice from a friend of my brother's who went to the show, who informed me that he thought the set went too long, and I clenched my teeth and said, I agree, but I didn't say this, but I was like, I totally agree, which is why I'm not totally flipping out, but don't ever, you know, in Michael Corleone, don't ever go against the family again. I almost wanted to be like, don't ever offer me comedy advice again. But I knew I went too long, but as I explained to him, it was more of a, I got all this stuff and I can't get as much stage time as I need. So there's limited opportunities to really work out lots of material. And I wasn't open micing anything. In fact, the newer stuff, some of the newer bits were the things that crushed the hardest. But it's about, you know, moving on from the special hour, which means integrating new stuff into the special and then slowly moving past the special material. Like a relay race almost, like the special runs, but it doesn't stop at the 100 mark. There's that in-between phase where you hand the baton off, where you're still running and the guy can start, the guy or gal in front of you can start running. That's kind of like what you do with material, if you're as prolific and genius as me, not afraid of tooting his own horn. But then I got the Southwest Chief, hung out in the Chicago Lounge, took some pictures. There's going to be a lot of pictures from this, probably in the form of maybe Instagram stories or something. But right now, other than this door, I'm having a wonderful time. Seven. Now it's funny. Now it's like me and the door in a contest to see who kills who first. I'll just hold the door. That's what I want to do for the next 20 hours is hold my door shut. That's certainly, I guess I was too positive. I'm sorry. This is what happens when my spirit even begins to soar with positivity. The world around me just says, no, that is not his purpose in life. His purpose is to be aging rapidly through stress and irritation. So now I'm on the train to, we're in New Mexico. Like I said, I've been taking pictures of different states. What's funny, and a big shot at Kansas, basically the state of Kansas, you hit Kansas City, Missouri, 10:30 local time. And then and then I woke up and we were like leaving the state of Kansas at like 7:15 or 7 a.m. And I was like, oh, that's a real diss on Kansas. It's like, not only are you a flyover state, you're a sleep through state. It's almost like they're like, okay, everybody, Kansas City, Missouri, we've just exited, so feel free to go to sleep and ignore the next 8 hours of your life, because we're just going through the flat, boring rectangle of Kansas. So we will see you in Colorado, a state with different policies, different people, and a lot more going for it besides college basketball. Nighty night. So now we're in New Mexico. I just filmed a video. And by the way, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you're sort of a fan, but there is there's a new playlist on my YouTube channel, the 2022 train tour, 2022 GOP train tour. So I've been filming videos both. I did a Mike Lindell reviews the Hampton Inn pillows. I've been doing videos in my train cars, hoping not to be too loud because it will seem really weird. Like, is this guy losing his mind or doing a jihad video? Or what's going on? Why is there so much talking from the giant solitary Egyptian guy in car number two? But I just did a Don Jr. and Donald Trump video out in New Mexico, which, God, it was my first time off the train in, I guess, like 19 hours, 18 hours. And God, it felt good. It was 52. It was like a blizzard in Jersey, but it was 52 in the beautiful mountains and pueblos, whatever a pueblo is. But those are like those clay houses or whatever, right? I don't remember. It's fifth grade. We've learned in fifth grade, that's all every history, every social studies thing was about, like Mexico and Native Americans. It was like they worked in their pueblos and their teepees and they made maize, corn, squash, beans, barley, wheat. You know, those long lists of things in every social studies books. Me and my friend Odie used to make fun of that so much. In fact, within the last year, we made a joke about that on Facebook. But we always found it just funny that you'd be reading it, and it was almost like the authors just couldn't stop themselves from listing every crop known to man. Sorghum, wheat, barley, beans, corn, maize, like just redundancies, just to keep listing all the things that the peoples of the earth were making in their wholesome existences. So there's a bunch of videos I've been posting stuff on. I've been keeping stuff like mostly off of Twitter and trying to guide people to like some of the Instagram and YouTube stuff. So there's a bunch of stuff everywhere if you're a fan of mine. So hopefully you've been keeping up with it and enjoying it. You know, because after this, I don't have any gigs scheduled till July. Hopefully that changes. But, you know, the big shit for me is obviously Billions, and then knee surgery and the special. And the special, I spoke with my comedy pastor, Rod Morrow of The Black Guy Who Tips, We prayed on it. We consulted scripture, we meditated with the ancestors, and I have decided that the special title is going to be Half Blackface. There will be no retreat from that. That said, Six Figures will make me retreat from that. But like the catch 22 there is, anybody who wants to buy who watches and wants to buy the special will understand the title and understand the provocative nature, but also the authenticity of the title. So it's probably not a problem I have to worry about. Anybody who watches that special and wants to buy it will understand and probably be okay, if not enthusiastic, about the title Half Blackface. And anybody who doesn't like the title almost certainly won't like the special, but it's an A plus. So I'm very, very excited for it. I'm going to go with Half Blackface as the title. So beyond that, obviously, if you're listening to this, I hope to see you in San Jose, on February 2nd at the San Jose Improv. And even more important than that is Southern California. The tickets, as of a few days ago, were dog shit sales. I'm not blaming anybody in particular. I know there are people who are traveling to LA for the show. So it's like, that makes me all more depressed, because I'm like, wait, I just extrapolated, if I got people coming from San Diego and further, way further up the West Coast, that obviously I got to be drawing some from LA County and the surrounding areas. But the numbers so far are not good. So if you've been holding off or hesitating, or you've got friends who you know are fans or whatever in Southern California, please, Burbank. There's no football that Sunday. That's why I booked it. The train is endorsing me, it sounds like. But the, the more tickets I sell, the more money I make. But I just want good shows. The money... at the high end won't change my life, and at the low end won't hurt me. So it's really not about the money. It's more about just making a good showing for these clubs and having a good show. I've done enough intimate gatherings. I would like a little bigger crowd, but you know, hopefully you can make it if you're listening to this and you've been on the fence for whatever reason. But if you have friends or whatever, and not, you don't have to make like a big, literally, like if you have friends you know who either you've shared my stuff with or you think are fans of mine, just shoot them an email or text and just tell them, well, you got to go see this guy, whatever. And then obviously there's been some good enthusiasm. That may just be 20 people, but for the show in Jordan Landing, just outside of Salt Lake City. So, and the good news is I won't be working that week. So I go to Vegas for a night on February 8th, and then it's off to Utah February 9th, 10th, and 11th without any day job work. I mean, there's day job work, but I've just told them I'm not working. I'm taking vacation during that time. So hopefully that improves my mood and gives me a real mental and emotional cleanse. Seeing the Jazz, gambling a little, doing a show, and then right back on the train, 3:30 a.m. out of Salt Lake City, back to Chicago, and then on to the Capitol Limited, and then on to the Pennsylvanian, to get home to see the righteous girlfriend will be with me in Utah. But Cookie, it'll be 20 days since I've seen Cookie, so I'm anticipating a veritable geyser of happy piss all over my floor. So that's how this, whatever happens along the way, this trip, ticket sales, day job work, meeting celebrities, whatever, we all know it's going to have a happy ending with Cookie whimpering and pissing all over the floor because she has missed me so much. So I think we can make this a short episode. I don't think that, oh yeah, well, you know what, we always like to do a couple reviews, right? So I watched Hawkeye on the way to Chicago, 6 episodes, Disney Plus series. It was good. I still don't understand why anybody keeps telling me that any other Disney Plus series is better than Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, no series came close, in my opinion, to that. But Hawkeye was solid and enjoyable. And, you know, Haley Steinfeld is really growing, blossoming into a lovely young woman. Check her age, please. Thank you. Because to me, she looks almost like she could be a third, you know, before Kylie Jenner underwent the Liberace make me look like my sister, as if that's not fucking incredibly unhealthy. But the other one, Kendall, who hasn't had all that work. I mean, there's still time for her to get, you know, the fake ass, the fake tits, the fake lips and everything. So we can hope and pray that she does that, of course. But right now she's just going with the, well, I'm a model just looking like myself. So maybe I'll try this out for a little while. And if I'm not getting the caliber of basketball player that I want, then maybe I'll have to get $400,000 worth of surgery. But for now, let's see how au naturel works. But Hailee Steinfeld looks like she could be like the third sister, because she's attractive, but she looks kind of like the approachable Kardashian. But she also has talent, which raises her profile. Like, she doesn't need to be an influencer, so she can be an 8, whereas maybe another Kardashian is a 9 or a 10. But the talent makes her as a whole person a 10. So, and yeah. That's all I have to say about that. The show was decent. You know, I don't think Vanessa Hudgens is in any trouble right now for my random starlet that I cyberstalk competition ever since Vanessa unseated Demi Lovato. But and a callback, Tick Tick Boom. I actually made the joke that I said I was gonna not make to Bradley Whitford on Twitter. I don't think he liked it. So, yeesh. Oh, well. But, hey, you live and you learn. And you make what you feel is a friendly joke. And then maybe somebody's not in the mood for it. And all of a sudden you go, oh, man, I can just burn bridges and piss people off even when I'm not trying to. And I try too often. But even when I'm not. But anyway, what was I going to say? So I watched Hawkeye, and that felt like, well, this is good for a train. I mean, I could have skipped it, as I was tempted to, but everybody kept telling me, I think you'll really like it, I think it's awesome. And I was like, it was okay, it was good. It was as I feared, it was good but not great, and right now, there's so much stuff out there that I just want to try and parse out the good and focus on the great. And, oh boy, it's getting hot. My train car has been baking in the New Mexico sun now, so I'm starting to break out into a little sweat. I might have to take off the flannel, folks. Get ready for the gun show. And then I tried this series, which is coming back February 3rd to HBO Max for its second season. I think it was like the first HBO Max original, called Raised by Wolves. I think it was like executive produced by Ridley Scott, and he directed the pilot. And it's like a sci-fi futuristic kind of philosophical show. But I thought, and it's got the guy from the lead from Vikings. So I was like, oh, man, fuck it. I'll try this. If it sucks, it sucks. But it may be cool. There's some big names attached to it, and it looks different than a lot of shit. It's an original property, obviously. So I watched 6.5 episodes. Fuck that show. I'm not even saying it's bad. I was just like, I don't give a shit about this. This is just weird and slimy, and it's just, I don't know. I was not going to watch it, and then I saw it got a second season. I was like, oh, okay, so maybe it's, like, legit. You know, if it was a one and done, I would have been like, fuck it, I don't need that shit. But when it got a renewal, I was like, maybe it's cool, and it's a little change of pace, different from other stuff I've been watching. No, I had to quit on it. So I got two movies downloaded to the tablet, which will be tonight's content. No, Nobody with Bob Odenkirk, which I heard a lot of good things about, and then News of the Day, the Paul Greengrass, Tom Hanks movie that I think they said was like a potential Oscar movie, but then it never really got into theaters because of, you know, that was like a fall 2020 movie that just got like totally forgotten. Because you think Paul Greengrass, an Oscar nominated director, great director. Captain Phillips, the last two Bourne movies, which were the best Bourne movies, United 93, he was nominated for an Oscar. So he's top tier. And Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. So I was looking forward to that, and I'm finally getting around to watching that. So those will replace, because I just said to myself, I was like, 6 episodes into Raised by Wolves, I was like, I mean, there's been some interesting stuff, and it's not bad, but I don't really care. Why am I watching? And am I, is there any way I'm actually going to sit down and watch like a second season of this? No. So I just stopped. I just said, I gave you a fair chance, Raised by Wolves, but no more. So that's about it for that. And I think we're done. Quick episode, not too much negativity. And the door has sort of, we've slowed down a little bit. So the door is like, doesn't have the momentum it needs to fuck up my life. So we stopped. We got seven. If you bet the under on the over-under of 10/JL losing his mind, 7. How about that? Just like the movie. Detective! So, that's it. I'm about to have a Caesar salad for lunch. Dessert is included, but I think I may just pass on dessert and only have dessert tonight, because we're doing calorie counting, bro. I've blown through my calories every fucking day so far. It's really tough. It's very tough because the worst thing is, it's when you can't start like my breakfast every morning at home is 3 eggs, half a cup of blueberries, black coffee. That's a very manageable, like 330 calorie breakfast, and it feels good. Like you're getting all that you need. A little caffeine, some protein, some fiber and vitamins, antioxidants, whatever. Very simple breakfast, but very good. And then you're like, oh, that was only 330 calories. Perfect. Whereas on this trip, it's like, there's not as much. I don't trust like eggs on a train. I need to get these motherfucking eggs off this motherfucking train. Eggs on a train. That's stupid, but I guess I'll title it that. I don't know why. I already had like 4 titles that I've forgotten. But I don't trust stuff like that, so I usually end up going like continental breakfast or pancakes, French toast, just something that you know is dependable. But then you go, instead of a 330 calorie breakfast, you're bam, you're at like 600. And then you get bored and you're like, well, I'll just eat half a bag of Skinny Pop. And you're like, shit, that's like 380 calories. And usually my snack is just like a yogurt for 200. Shit. So each meal incrementally adds. And then you get to dinner and you're like, I'll have a steak, a baked potato. That only puts me 100 over. And a piece of carrot cake. I'm now 600 calories over and bored. And now I'm going to buy a cookie from the snack car because I'm watching a show at 11 p.m. and I can't fall asleep yet. So, that's the diet struggles, but I made it to the gym 2 out of 3 days in Chicago, and I'm going to do walking and working out every day I'm in LA. So, you know, if I can break even or only put on a couple of pounds from a 3-week vacation that includes train travel, Las Vegas buffets, and basketball arena food, if I come back and it's like, oh, JL, you went from 257 to 261, I'm going to consider that a big victory. And then I'm going to go like keto for 2 weeks before knee surgery, because that's one of the things I have to make sure is that my weight is as low as possible before knee surgery. Anyway, this is even boring me, so I apologize. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this train edition of the Righteous Prick Podcast. This will count as next week's episode, but I think I may just post it this weekend. If I can even get a connection during this last leg of the trip, I might just post it from the train. So, Throw Podcasts from the Train. Does anybody remember the movie Throw Mama from the Train? Probably not. So what am I doing? Anyway, guys, hope you're doing well. Hope you're safe if the weather is shitty where you are. Hope to see, some of you, many of you in Utah or Northern California or Southern California, or at least spread the word to your friends and folks. And, that's it. And I will see you. Well, technically I'm recording this. Next Tuesday could arguably be this coming Tuesday. So I will see you next Tuesday after Tuesday. That's Kuntat, which now sounds more like an African name. Like my name is Kuntat Covan. Kuntat. Kuntat. So see you next Tuesday after Tuesday. And that's it. Bye, guys. Ah!